1:30 this afternoon, there will be a session at this conference, Joy, Loving the World in Dark Times, named Amor Mundi meaning love the world, and Joy as Flowing Proximity. The session will feature Robin Wang along with Lisa Cypress-Kamen, and both are with us this morning. Lisa Cypress-Kamen is the principal facilitator at Harvesting Happiness, a global lifestyle management consultancy supporting clients in fostering greater overall well-being and enhancing quality of life. Robin Wang is professor of philosophy at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. Her teaching and research focus on Chinese and comparative philosophy, particularly Taoist philosophy, as well as the intersections of women and gender in Chinese thought and culture. It is a great pleasure to welcome Lisa Cypress-Kamen and Robin Wang to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. You'll be joined by Niobe Wei, correct? Also at this session this afternoon. So what exactly do you see, Robin, as what you will be talking about? And I have to ask you about Joy as Flowing Proximity. I can come up with no better question than what is that?
Thank you for your question. Yes, I'd like to see joy is a universal cross a timeless topic through human history and across culture. So, and it's not something just suddenly happened in our current dark time. It is exists through human history. And so my talk, I will present a different way to thinking about a joy. Come from 200 BC, a classical Taoist classical text called the Zhuangzi. So I started with a story about a friends debating about whether they know joy of fish. Then I come to two conclusions. One is joy is relational residence. Secondly, joy is here and now. So there is contextual classical text, classical wisdom-oriented talk, but yet I will be using contemporary concept. And one is a flow, you know, flow like a water, being facing a obstacles, but not being knocked down, but go around it, still keep going. And the second one, proximity. Proximity is a current phenomenon we all experience. Like we're so close to technology make us so close to the world. Basically, world in the hand of your palm. For example, before, if you like some musicians, you have to buy the tickets and go into concert to listen. Now you can listen through 24/7. But the question is that good? You come to a nearness, near to this the world, but actually it requires us to have a distance, breaking from this. The nearness, but at the same time, we have to navigate this space. So if you ask me, what is this flowing proximity? Simply, I will say it's art of navigating a space we are now.
So the flow is continuing, and our job within the proximity is to decide how to navigate where that flow goes and how close we get to it and how far we get away from it to basically save ourselves.
Exactly. To yes, you well said, yes. It's navigating. So proximity is a space. It's not just a nearness, but also we have to learn how to break from it. So that is a very important. We have to break distance. In another word, we have distance to look at the condition we are in, and then we will be move forward. I don't know whether you know the chess, there's a game chess,
yeah.
and then game of Go. They are very different. So proximity is a game of Go, where you have board, then everyone's equal player, but they, through your influence, through your way navigating this space, you'll be successful. So you truly experience a joy.
So you then we should be playing Go and not chess. Because
well,
otherwise
okay.
you have to like move diagonally. Yeah. And that's very confusing.
That's very nice. but I do see, right, the diversity of life. It's a different, chess is a propositional. It's oppositional. I want to kill everything that by the end I'm the only winner. Okay. So goal is you navigating, you work through the conditions, then you win. There is 38 winners. Everyone wins. It's not just the one person. So it's a movement through the influence. And then to pay attention to the hidden condition, to see silent transformation where we often dismissed. So this is some. Well, I wrote a book on yin yang, the way of heaven and earth in Chinese thought and culture. So that present a different way, different framework to thinking about reality, and to think about our life, basically from health to whole social dimensions of our existence.
Lisa Cypress-Kamen is the principal facilitator at Harvesting Happiness. In the context of what Robin Wang was just talking about, how does one then harvest happiness in that context?
I love what Robin talks about flow, because in the context of positive psychology, which is my wheelhouse, 20 years of research and Harvesting Happiness podcast, I go to the work of Mihalyi Csikszentmihalyi, the father of flow theory, who talks about this state of joy that we experience when we have full immersion in an activity that we love, or in community, when we're doing something that is of meaning, and joy becomes the byproduct of that flow experience that we might not even recognize when we're doing it, but when we recall that memory, we have that sense of joy or elevation.
So what is the connection with elevation? Because the elevation is that it brings us to a higher place.
A higher emotional level, because emotions are contagious. Positive and negative emotions are contagious. So if we expose ourselves to positive contagions, like being in flow with one another in this room, you know, where there's a connection, albeit for a small period of time, we have a sense of elevation or greater well-being from the communal experience.
So explain the word, how you use it and how you would like it to be used, of harvesting.
That it's a process. It's a journey. It's a practice. When we look at farmers and how they sow their seeds and tend to their crops, and the reward of tending to those crops in a positive, loving way is a good harvest. Mm-hmm. So I think emotions are like that too, regardless of which ones we pay attention to. I mean, in my work, it's positive, but there are forces that are focusing on negative ones that are sowing those kinds of seeds as well.
So dumb question, but can happiness and joy be used interchangeably?
No. I think that happiness...
Oh, good. Not a dumb question. All right.
They're together. They are related. I would say that joy is a bit more powerful or elevated than happiness. Happiness is very fleeting. Usually it comes from hedonic happiness or hedonism, the pleasure of the senses. We eat a good meal, we drink a good glass of wine, we buy a lovely pair of shoes, whatever that might be. We have a pleasure spike. Whereas joy is a bit more serious, lasting, and when we use recalling positive memory and emotion, particularly related to joy, whatever that is for the individual, we tend to have a pleasure spike. It's more meaningful, which is the other side of the happiness coin, which is based on eudaimonia, right? Which is a sense of purpose and meaning, which ties to our theme here today at the Hannah Arendt Center.
We have less than a minute, but you feel there seems to be a joy coming from both of you right now.
Yes.
500%.
You know why? Because two things. One, we connected. We connected with the audience, and we connect with you. You're asking this such marvelous, wonderful question and make me excited. So that's why. But also the joy is we are now here. Now we are in intellectual gym to exercise our intellectual muscles.
Well, this will be a fascinating session this afternoon, 1:30 here at the conference at Bard College. Lisa Cypress-Kamen is the principal facilitator at Harvesting Happiness, and Robin Wang, a professor of philosophy at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. A great pleasure to have you both on the roundtable this morning. Be well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be back with our second hour of the roundtable right after this.